The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Meteor Studios Arena! Tonight we bring you the monstrous mayhem you have been craving. Terrifying creatures from folklore and legend battling it out until only one can claim the title of Cryptid Supreme. Beasts that may or may not exist from around the globe have been gathered here for one night only. You'll witness the carnage firsthand as two alien feline powerhouses, the Ozark Howler and the Beast of Bodmin Moor, clash together in fur and fury. You'll be riveted by the pure bestial strength of the Beast of Bray Road, pitted against the Beast of Busco's indomitable giant turtle power. You'll recoil in terror from the monstrous Wendigo as it wields its supernatural strength against the raw reptilian rage of the Brosno Dragon. And finally, you'll be on the edge of your seat for the final match of the night, where the cryptozoological championship is on the line. Two astonishing ape men enter, but only one will claim the belt at the alien theorist's second mind-boggling, monumental, monstrous, cryptid crushathon!
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 135, Cryptid Crushathon! I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Booyah! Cryptid Crushathon number two.
The second annual. Wait, we did one last year, right?
Part two.
I think it was like 2 years ago, probably.
Biannual.
Yeah. Well, you got to catch all, it's like Pokemon. You got to catch all the creatures first.
Yeah. Round right? them up.
So that's, once you have enough to put on the event, then you put on the event, which is coming live next weekend. The fights.
I'm pumped for those.
Cryptid Fight 239 or whatever.
So how many of these guys we talking about tonight are actual foilies? Like I'm talking shinies.
Dude, every one of them.
Oh, they're all, buddy, this is a stacked card of shinies.
Yeah, that's big. That's real big.
Just so it's April now, and if you don't know, if you haven't been following us on social media, for some reason we started this goddamn running challenge. We're day five. God damn, some people are putting up some big numbers. I couldn't even walk today, barely. My calves are so tight, I take the day off.
I started strong. I started off at a slow pace. I ran 8.5K. And after I ran 8.5K, my knee is fucked. I don't know if it's my shoes. Like I even watch videos on how to run long distance and like how to strike midfoot and like how to not fuck your knees up and make sure you lean forward and don't overextend. Trying to save my knees. Nope, didn't work. Knees fucked.
Fucked. Boys, brought this on yourselves.
We did.
Brought
it on yourselves? 100%.
I am absolutely amazed at how much our fans like running.
Dude, holy fuck.
There's so many people who really running.
I was like, oh, I'm going to win. And then after day one, I was like, I'm not going to win.
No chance. No chance.
The only thing I enjoy running is my mouth. That's it. I want nothing to do with that shit.
Yeah. It's so far we've got, you know what? I'm not going to read the top three right now. Actually, Daniel Wilkes, in 5 days, has 105 kilometers logged.
That's pardon me?
Ridiculous. Yeah.
The guy is insane.
He's a fucking machine.
Yeah, he's a long distance runner who, because right away we had a shame and be like, are these numbers real? Like, we're standing the piss. We need the piss.
How much does this guy pay off Usain Bolt to run for him? Like, this is fucking ridiculous.
He's a sprinter.
No, if you look at paces and stuff, like, he's all good. And he just, like, running changed his life a couple years ago, and he just loves running. And he's just happy that there's a group of people that are doing it with him. So on our Discord, we got a bunch of people cheering him on now. We've been making the joke that third's the new first.
Yep, 100%.
Second is a little bit of a
suspect
controversy.
Yep.
Bree with 60 kilometers, but one 30K run, and that's it. Interesting.
Mm. Holy shit.
It seems like when she joined, it just uploaded all of her last week's run before the competition at once or something.
And
I can't really
tell She hasn't logged any kilometers since, putting up the 60.
Suspect.
Right? We'll see how that changes. And number three, rounding out the top three, Sodomize, 47 kilometers. Where are your theorists at? Well, Zell's at 10th place with 24.6 kilometers.
Which I thought was impressive. Thought was pretty
good. Your boy Braden sitting in 15th with 23 kilometers.
Also pretty good.
And Andrew and Dan are tied with 0 kilometers.
There we go.
Last place.
Hey, man, essential men such as myself don't have time for running right now. Yeah. All right.
Just run in your mouth.
Yep. Exactly. That's it.
Writing checks your body can't cash.
Anyways.
No. Fucking writing checks and saving necks, baby. That's what I do.
You know what's funny about the challenge is when we first made it, we said like hashtag alien theorists exercising. But when you space it out, alien theorists exercising. It's so good.
I saw that too. So I was good. Like, yeah. Alien theorist sexercising.
That's better.
Even better.
Yeah. Better. Yeah. Yeah. We're keeping it. Hashtag alien theorist sexercising.
Yeah. It's hilarious. But we got a long month, so you know, stand there. I'm hoping for a top five finish, to be honest.
I would need new shoes before I can run catch up.
I ordered mine. I ordered new shoes, got new shoes coming.
What'd they say for shipping? How long?
5 business days.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Maybe I'll invest in a pair as well.
Because you know
I'm
what?
On days like, off, maybe hit, I'll sign up and go for a run.
I'm gonna start putting up some big numbers here. I've got hit a 7. I had to take today off though. That was today. My legs were. I like did a little test jog. Like I jogged from the end of my driveway to my house, and I was just like both my calves were like felt like they were gonna rupture. I was like, nah. I was like, this is gonna be painful. And the second I start logging a little bit of a slow pace, Zell's texting me. What's with that pace, bro? You walking? Buddy?
You put up
a walking pace.
It was a 7:41 or something. Like, hey, that's power walking. Let's go.
Dude, I ran past some people walking. There's no way I was
okay, well.
I was lumbered, but it's tough.
Anyways, let's get to the crush-a-thon.
All right.
Ooh, let the carnage begin.
Bam, 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 bam.
So this is our second Cryptid Crush-a-thon, and I've lined up quite the fight card for this this special event. And round one, I'd like to introduce the Ozark Howler versus the Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Shit.
Ozark Howler, both of these creatures are your alien big cats.
Alien,
I mean just not native and not alien. Or they could be alien, not really sure. The Ozark Howler is a native to the northern parts of Arkansas and the southern half of Missouri, ranging around the Ozark areas. It's been sighted between 2005-2010. People originally thought it was a cougar or something like that, but the problem is that wildlife officials around those areas, they say there's not enough of a breeding population of cougars left in Arkansas. So...
There's been a
number of sightings of seeing something big like this.
That's a fake mounted head. If you're watching the live stream of an Ozark Howler, it does kind of look, it's got like a hybrid between like a canine and a cat mouth. And then it's
like,
got
that looks
weird,
exactly like that one Joe Rogan has in his studio.
It has like kind of horns on the back of its head as well.
That right. It has gangster. It's been described as having glowing eyes and horns. And, you know, Howler is in the name, so it has been reported that, you know, people hearing those strange caterwauling noises outside
Whoa!
Just like that. That's eerily accurate.
Did a beer go down?
Yeah, I knocked. I had a little tower going. She's gone now, though. She toppled.
And in the other corner, you have the Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Wait, hold on. I need to know more about this howl. How big is this thing? Like, is it big as a house cat? Like, I see it's like devil cat.
Devil
big
cat.
Big as a house cat?
No, what? It's way bigger than a house cat.
Braden just asked, how big? It's big as a house cat.
It's bigger than a bobcat. So it's probably about cougar size, large cougar.
Oh, man, a large cougar is a big fucking animal.
Case where they on the Sci-Fi Channel show Haunted Highway, apparently they left out a like a large piece of meat in order to try and lure out the creature, and they said when they came back they found footprints, at least one footprint around that area, and when they had consulted a wildlife biologist about it, they said that it is, you know, it possibly, it's about the size of a puma or a cougar.
Jesus. So like a big cougar can be like 200 kilo or 100 kilograms, man. Like that's a big fucking animal.
Yeah, they get well over 200 pounds, yeah.
Jesus.
So it's got the claws. It's got the terrible howl. It's as big as cougar. Some people say it's like a bear. Like if I recall correctly, isn't there also known as like some sort of night bear or something? Night light bear or something?
Night light bear.
Yeah, I think so. Don't remember.
All the pictures that you can look up always paint it as a big cat, like, and they always like kind of look like this. Like people are like, this is what I've seen. It's like it looks like a jaguar, kind of.
Oh, that's a fucking jaguar. Jaguar. With red eyes, right? Red eyes. So it's got claws. It's got teeth, right? Stealth.
It's got the speed. It's got the strength. It's got the glowing eyes. So next, you have the Beast of Bodmin Moor from Cornwall, England, the United Kingdom, flown all the way over to here across the pond. Reported sightings of this creature go back to 1978, and there have been with those cases, there were occasional reports of mutilated livestock. I think the most common hypothesis is that the Beast of Bodmin Moor, along with other sightings of these large cats, because the sighting of, you know, mysterious cat-like creatures around the moors of England is not anything new. These have always kind of been around. It's always been hypothesized that perhaps some of these were escaped cats. You know, somebody was the Tiger King before the Tiger King over in the UK when it was legal to own large cats. And so it's been the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries and Food actually conducted an official investigation to looking for this creature in 1995. And they found that they came to the conclusion that there was no verifiable evidence of any exotic felines loose in Britain. And they say that it had, some other creature had mauled the farm animals or been attacked by an indigenous species, but I don't know what that would be. It'd take down a whole, you know, an entire cow or something like that.
Beast of Bodmin Moor. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is we got to hear a regular cat fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love it. Dude, like, so the Beast of Bodmin Moor, again, two big cats are going to square up.
So now, is this Bodmin Moor beast, is it comparable size to the cougar? Are we on the same?
The Ozark howler?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is it going to be on a similar, like, are we talking cats, or is this Beast of Bodmin or whatever the fucking Children of Bodmin beast? Is it like a cheetah size? Like, I don't know. I need more information here. Like, are we going big cat versus lean fast cat?
They're similar. I don't know.
I'm going to say from the description, it sounds like the Beast of Bodmin Moor may be a little smaller, a little sleeker, a little faster.
Oh shit.
I think the Beast of Bodmin Moor is like Braden is saying, is a little bit smaller, about maybe like leopard size.
Okay. So lean and fast.
This Ozark howler is a fucking tank of a cat.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
It's like a cat slash bear. It's fucking massive.
Yeah.
So speed versus strength.
Yeah.
Classic matchup here.
Seems to be what it's coming down to.
The problem with cats is, Dude, cat fights are vicious.
Oh, dude.
When you watch like a leopard fight, they like grab.
You watch two house cats fight, and it's
dude,
like,
they grab
the same thing.
They lock Crazy. On. They lock on with their front, with their like front paws and claws onto like the back of the neck, and then take their feet and then like try and kick each other's guts out. It's fucking crazy.
Dude, I'll never forget being living in Thailand and just getting having the window cracked and just getting woken up in the middle of the night by like a pack of alley cats just going at it. And you could just hear fucking cats getting just shredded and just the noises and the sounds involved. I was like, Jesus, like it's violence like I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
And now you're talking
funny
about
thing
two
is,
big cats.
The funny thing is with that is that cat fights and cats fucking sound pretty much the same.
What? They make the same noises?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I know it's true with leopards, and I'm not sure about, I'm pretty sure it's about house cats too, but with leopards and other big cats, like the males have like spikes.
Yeah, but they have barbs.
Dicks. Yeah, they have barbs. In their dicks.
Ugh.
So it actually like hurts. I think the theory, the popular theory is it encourages like swift copulation. Like it's like get in, get out.
Pump, pump, done.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they can like house cats anyways, can carry children from multiple different mates at the same time. So when they have a litter, they can have like three or four different fucking dads. It's crazy.
I did not know that.
So these things,
the more you know,
square enough. What's Dan? What or Zell? What's your take? Who do you got and why?
Strictly on based on pictures, I gotta go with the Ozark, just because it looks, it's way more documented and it looks way more terrifying. That's all good. Just by looks, I would say I'm going Ozark.
Andrew, what do you think?
Wow, it's a fucking tale as old as time, boys. Speed kills.
Oh, you're going Beast of Bodmin?
I'm going speed.
So how do you think that fight? How do you think that fight turns out for him? How do you think that the Beast of Bodmin?
I say he says he stays elusive, right? Keeps the fucking Ozark howler lunging and trying to get a hold of him, and he keeps moving, taking little shots when he can, until he gets a chunk of that fucking sweet sweet neck. Goes for the kill.
I'm gonna say the only way the Beast of Bodmin wins in my idea if it's a sneak attack on the Ozark. Like looking at all the pictures of the Ozark howler, this thing ain't all nimbly bimbly. It's not jumping tree to tree. It's
a beast.
It's walking the ground, right? So like maybe the Beast of Bodmin like leaping on its back, getting it from the back and the neck, right? That's the only way. But if they're both on the ground in like a cage, buddy, that the howler is gonna mess up that Beast of Bodmin. That thing's a tank, man.
He's got to get his fucking mitts on him, though. I don't think
it also, one of the other, now I found out where I had the names. It goes by the Ozark Howler, also known as Ozark Black Howler, the Nightshade Bear, the Devil Cat, and
the
Hoo-Hoo.
The Hoo-Hoo?
The Hoo-Hoo. Because I'm guessing that's the noise it makes. Hoo-Hoo!
Hoo-Hoo!
No, 100% the Ozark Howler, man. He's gonna fucking
even
look at that thing.
Look at
man.
That fucking thing.
Even if you think, even if it goes by the name fucking Hootie Hoo, that right there just it fucking discredits Hootie everything right there. The
that's
Beast
the noise
of Bodmin or Boredom or whatever the fuck its name is. That's a gangster name.
I don't want no Beast of Boredom.
Oh, he's a badass.
As far as names go, Beast of Bodmin Moore. That's a pretty dope name.
So bad. That should be a band.
Someone start that band. It's got to be so
fucking
metal.
Dan, what do you think? Where do you sway on this?
I mean, I definitely put my money probably on the Ozark Howler. If it's got as many cool names, it's got way more cool names than Beast of Bodmin Moore. Black Howler, Devil Cat.
And there's more evidence of the Ozark Howler.
More history.
Yeah, the more history. So it's like, so I'm saying if we're putting in a cage what these things really are, they just materialize in a screen. There's a chance that the Beast of Bodmin Moore is just a regular black cat.
Or you said yourself that the way the Beast of Bodmin Moore wins is by sneak attack. Obviously, if this thing's fucking real, it's fucking sneaky as hell. Right? Because
it hasn't really been seen since 1978.
Don't confine
it. Exactly. That's one of the first scenes. So, but I mean, I'm pretty sure there's still, you know, every now and then there's still a couple of sightings of these large big cats out on the moors of England.
This guy's buddy, my boy here is sneaky as fuck. Next thing, before your Ozark nerd knows what's happening, he's got a fucking jaws clamped around his neck, and it's fucking Sweet Caroline.
Ozark host. Nerd.
See you later.
Go blimey.
Exactly.
No, I
think it's going 3-3 to 1.
If I'm a betting man, I'm still going with Ozark Howler.
It looks like we're pre-fight analysis. We're going Ozark Howler
3-1
over the Beast of Bodmin Moor 3-1.
Again, it's going to depend though for me, because I could be swayed if we see the battlefield for them and it's like thick forest, a lot of spots for hiding. The Beast of Bodmin Moor is going to have a way better advantage, right? Because it's not as big, right? Just lumberous through this forest, through the brush, right? If it's an open field, it's fucked.
Yeah, lot open field, lots of room to run.
Yeah, but you can only run for so long, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to take my chance with the fucking lean, mean fighting machine, fucking having Gaslin tank over the fucking big lumbering tank of a fucking hoo-hoo.
You don't know it's lumbering. We don't know it's lumbering, though.
Well, it's fucking 200 and some pounds.
That's nothing,
it's
man.
It's a devil cat.
Would you call a
it's also
a tiger?
A hoo-hoo.
Would you call a tiger a lumbering beast, even though they're 500 pounds and they can fucking move?
Compared to a cheetah? Yes, I would.
Cheetah's only good okay. for like 5 seconds, though. And tired
so you're
as
saying a cheetah beat a tiger?
Hey, we're not.
That's where you're going there. That's where you're going here. That's where you're
no,
going.
No, no,
cheetah
no,
versus
but that's
tiger.
Not, that's not. We're not going into that. All right, relax.
This is the cheetah versus tiger of the cryptid world.
That's not as fun.
Well, I think it'd be more like leopard versus tiger.
Yeah, we'll go leopard. A little bit bigger. A little stronger. Still,
dude. Either way, I would not want to fuck with any cat. In the woods,
no,
not even
I don't
a house
even like,
cat.
No, fuck no, man. Every time I've ever fucked with my house cat, you lose. Every time.
How many scars do you have on your hands from fighting your cat?
Oh, and they sting so bad.
Those little razor
yeah,
blades.
Yeah, you know why? It's because they get their little shit in there.
Yeah, you cat litter and fucking cat. Piss.
Yeah. That's why.
Fuck. All right, well, we'll
but
have
the real
to...
question is, which one of these would be more likely to end up in Joe Exotic Zoo?
Cool. Dude, he'd take both in a heartbeat.
There's not a fucking chance. They both, they both, you
one.
Know where they'd end up in that bitch Carol Baskin zoo.
He'd take both right away, but he might kill one faster than the other if it didn't make money.
That Ozark Howler would definitely take off more than your arm.
All right. In a third hypothetical, Joe Exotic and his pistol versus one of these two. But no, 3-1.
3-1, Ozark.
Ozark Howler.
Fucking nothing I'm not used to here. Fuck's sake.
Well, moving on to round
on
two.
Losers.
We've got the very well-known, the infamous Beast of Bray Road. I know people have heard about him.
Oh, it's a goddamn
Beast
werewolf.
Beast of Bray Road, the hellish werewolf-like creature from Bray Road from Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And let's see, people have also cited this strange, terrifying creature as far as Illinois. If you're familiar with the Beast of Bray Road, or if you're not familiar with it, he's a Bigfoot-like creature. He stands on two legs, but I have heard that he has been reported to be seen going from two to four. He can go from two legs to all fours. And people say that it's very large. They have they say that it displays some sort of intelligence. It's brown and gray in color. And most of the sightings happened between 89 and 91. So people have seen this one. So he's a Bigfoot. He's 7-8 feet, something like that. And we have him squaring off against the Beast of Busco. Or it could be Busco. I'm not sure.
The Battle of the Beasts.
Beast of Busco is a legend from Churubusco, Indiana. And it is described to be an enormous snapping turtle. And people claim to see it around 1949.
That is fucking dope.
They affectionately named it Oscar after the first discoverer of it. And so the guy who found it, it was, they said like in July of 1948. There are at least two citizens of Churubusco, Aura Blue and Charlie Wilson, reported seeing this huge alligator snapping turtle, and they estimated it being about 500 pounds or so.
Jesus.
The farmer who owned the land where they sighted it, it was named Gerald Harris, and Harris even reported seeing this creature. So, I mean, this creature is so popular there that they actually have a Turtle Days festival each June, and it has a parade and carnival and turtle races.
Do they sacrifice like wild game to the turtle, or what do they do here?
But, no, I don't think so.
It's a 500-pound right. turtle.
So I think there's probably face painting and turtle races. Jesus. I don't know about human. I don't know about sacrifices. That wasn't in there.
Oh,
so what do I need to know here? Is this guy fucking walking around like a Ninja Turtle?
2 foot.
Yes,
2 foot.
Okay,
for
so he's
our
on
purposes,
two legs.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The Beast of Busco's got a fucking shell. He's got that razor sharp mouth. He can shoot his neck out really far to snap. Got razor sharp talons. He's got a tail with probably some little spikies on them. He's 500 fucking pounds. I imagine that he's going to be a little short and stocky though. Like he's not going to be like, he might be like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah. He's going to be a lumberer for sure. He's going to be a
slow mover.
Whereas
he is a turtle.
Whereas we have the,
Beast of Bray Road is like
a werewolf, like a big werewolf.
It's like a big foot.
Bigfoot.
I almost think like more like a werebear. Some people call it more like a bear.
You could say that.
But so he's got the teeth. He's got the strength. Fucking huge ass claws and shit.
So it's Bigfoot with claws. Bigfoot with claws is what we're talking here.
So yeah, Bigfoot with claws versus like Toka from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze.
I think it would really be Toka and Rezar. Like I think that's really what it would look like.
So now I always lean more towards Toka. I think he was fucking cooler personally.
He just like spin around on his shell. Wasn't that his thing?
Yeah. Well, he was kind of like, I was a big Slash fan. You remember Slash?
Yeah.
And that's who I thought they were trying to make Toka be. So that's why I fucking really liked him. But
dude, I don't think there's any way you can convince me that the Beast of Busco doesn't end up taking this one. He's got fucking armor. He's you know what I mean? Like he can suck his limbs into his little shell for protection. You know what I mean? Like I don't know what's that going to be? Like
you're missing the biggest thing. You're missing the biggest component here. He's got fucking turtle power.
Yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah, but he probably has a soft belly. You flip him over, Beast of Bray Road, flip him on his back, expose the soft underbelly, tear him apart.
Buddy, Ninja Turtle's got six packs. I don't put it
past
him. Dude,
Snapping Turtle's got it's got to cock its neck into its shell and then lunge out and go for one quick bite. But if it misses, do a quick like single leg takedown, flip him on its back, rip out the guts, Beast of Bray Road wins.
I don't know. He's got a fucking...
He's got dexterous arms. Gets in there and maneuver him.
He's got fucking probably got thousands of years of fucking fighting experience. He's a turtle. His lifespan's fucking forever.
So the size of the turtle. So if a normal turtle lives like, what are those like leatherhead sea turtles live to like 400 years or something? Don't they? Something crazy?
What? No, what?
Yeah.
400 years?
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe, I think
sea turtles. Sea turtles. No,
I think
man.
100 is.
No,
I
man.
Think, 100. I think, what is it?
No, man.
The tortoises are like a Galapagos tortoise is like 100 and there's one that's like 150, maybe 140.
Hmm.
I think. And man, he's a snapping turtle. That the power of that fucking jaw. Whatever he grabs, he's snapping in half.
No, not as impressive. I'm looking up how strong a snapping turtle bite is.
This is a 500 pound. This is a 500 pound snapping turtle.
But here, like I was expecting, like a normal because normal snapping turtles can get pretty fucking big too. Not 500 pounds, but I was expecting them to have a crazy bite. A snapping turtle's actual jaw strength registered between 208 and 226 newtons of force. Humans' average bite force is between 300 and 700.
Oh, so we bite that motherfucker in half.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden I'm like, so he doesn't bite that hard.
But he's got that big shark.
Yeah.
Got the big
shark. And you got to imagine the Beast of Bray Road is like solid muscle, you know?
Yeah.
So if it's trying, even if it's trying to bite that, like if he clamps down on it, or, you know, he blocks, you know, if he takes a bite on his arm and he like pulls, he yanks back. I mean, he gets that neck exposed and just
going for it. This is going to be a bloody battle.
He's losing flesh every time he pulls his arm away.
Yeah, and after looking at the bite strength, because I in my head thought snapping turtle, I thought like he bite, you lose limb. that's what I thought.
500 pounds.
Yeah, if you think about a wolf's bite's way harder than that. And now imagine a yoked wolf is even more.
Well, I thought he was more like a fucking Bigfoot, not a wolf. Like, he doesn't have sharp teeth and shit. He's going to be like a primate, isn't he?
Well, he's got...
No, they think of more like a were-bear. Like a bear that can always go
on
two
legs. If it's a giant fucking bear, if it's like bigger than a normal bear, then that's going to kill everything.
Well, it doesn't say weight. It doesn't say weight of the beast of Bay Road. It just says a large Bigfoot type / werewolf type / bear type biped.
So where does the were come from? Are we talking like turns from a human to a fucking bear?
It walks up on two legs.
It looks like more like
it can walk,
a man bear.
It's seen to walk up on two legs.
Man bear.
But bears do that. So.
But they don't walk on legs like continuously. They can stand up and waddle a little bit, but they can't like walk around.
And they look awkward. This thing
so it's bipedal purpose. And it's fucking scary and huge.
Yeah.
Versus
this is a tough one for me. Either one of those.
It's easy for me. It's already fucking done.
I just found I overestimated my tortoise age by over double.
Yeah.
They say 188 years is the oldest tortoise right now, but they think 250 is the oldest they've ever found.
That makes sense.
So not 500.
Crazy though.
But still, that's fucking.
Not
that's
500 year
that's
old.
That's fucking old though, man.
Sitting around out there.
That's fucking old.
Yeah, but now imagine that's a 500 pound turtle.
Yes.
Would it live that much longer?
I'm leading towards now the Beast of Bray Road. I mean, the only thing I don't like about this fight for the werebear is that he doesn't have any defense. He's all offense. He's got the speed and stuff, but like every hit he's taking damage, whereas the turtle power, you know, he might take one off the shell, right? He's got some defensive maneuvers.
What's
it's a tough one. So what do you think? Who's winning this fight?
Well, it would have to
depend. And how?
It would have to depend on the arena. Where are they fighting?
Oh yeah, if they're in the water.
Not necessarily even the water. If it's just like even like a marshland, like a little swamp. Mm. Now I'm going turtle here a little bit because you can, you know, the Beast of Bray Road is not very maneuverable. Better chance to land.
But like snapping turtles aren't that maneuverable. They don't like they just kind of
No, I'm
they just kind of move along the bottom. I don't think they kind of.
I didn't say
not like
no. I didn't say speed. I didn't say snapping turtle was maneuverable. I said the Beast of Bray Road wouldn't be maneuverable in the swamp as much, so the snapping turtle would have a better chance to land a quick strike. So if they're in a swamp, I would give it to the 500 pound turtle. If they're anywhere else, any type of solid grounds going to Beast of Bray Road, flip him over. Snapping turtle would go in. He couldn't hit him. Beast of Bray Road goes in, single leg takedown, flips him on his back. Tears him open from the soft underbelly of his tortoise shell. Game over.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. And the reason I agree is because I think the snapping turtle is going to extend the neck, get an arm. But then while he has the arm, the wolf's going to bite the neck of the turtle.
Just tear him out.
Right there. Right? Once the neck's exposed. Ah!
What if fucking Toka's playing the long game? Just sucks his fucking limbs in and just waits it out. Let's Mr. Then, Werewolf gas out on that shell.
But then he's going to flip him over and burrow through the underbelly.
Yeah, and then you fucking quickly fucking stick your arms and head out, flip back over.
Oh, so you're playing possum. You're saying plays possum.
Long game.
He gets flipped over.
I don't know.
Right when he flips him over, quick strike. Bam.
The Beast of Bray Road apparently is pretty intelligent, so he might be the, you know, pick him up, smash him on a rock.
Intelligent as a 1,000-year-old turtle? I don't know. But here's what I see. I see fucking, first of all. He's got turtle power. So that right there is fucking huge.
All right.
Second of all, I can see him sucking all his limbs out and doing some type of fucking sweet fucking squirtle attack where he shoots his shell at him, fucking hits him right in the head.
Fucking Gamera. Like,
and then he's just standing there
around
naked?
And like little jet engines start popping
out. Yeah, just like Squirtle. And then also, I envision this snapping turtle to be having these fucking crazy spikes all over his shell. Crazy defense. He's 1,000 years old, so he's developed all these wicked fucking ways of, you know what I mean, defending himself. This guy's a badass. I don't fuck with him. I don't want nothing to do with this guy.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I've heard a Bigfoot. I've heard a Sasquatch. I've never heard of no fucking Beast of Bray Road. He sounds like a buster.
Here's a problem. And the reason why I'm leaning through a Beast of Bray Road is because I always like to think, one, them fighting each other, and two, which one would I most likely want to go against? And then I picked the opposite. And I was like, I think I'd rather go against this snapping turtle because I'm faster. I could probably get away. You know what I mean? Like, I could probably get away from the fucking turtle.
Good point.
But I don't think there's any environment where I can get away from the fucking Beast of Bray Road.
That thing would truck after
you. Yeah, you would.
You know what I mean? Go nowhere. Like, you're not getting away.
That's a good point.
You see that thing in the woods? You're dead. You see that thing on the lake? You're dead. Crossing river? Dead. Getting mail? Dead. At Danny's?
Crossing the street?
Dead.
Dead. Going to your office? Dead.
Dead.
There is no possible situation where you're not dead when you come across the Beast of Bray Road.
No, whereas like if all of a sudden you see this giant fucking turtle, goo, goo,
you almost be inclined to throw rocks at it.
I'm also reading here that turtles' underbellies are not soft.
It's got to be softer than the top shell.
But not much. It's still armor. Still hard.
So you're saying you don't think he could curb stomp the shell and just crack it?
I don't know, man.
But once he's on his back, he can't get up.
Well, yeah, he does a fucking cool breakdancing spin. Haven't you fucking go ninja, go ninja, go?
go ninja, go ninja, go. Okay, I'll give you that. If it's just as hard armor on the belly as it is on the back.
I don't know if it's just as hard, but I'm trying to do some fucking fast Googling.
If it's any less hard than the back shell, the Beast of Bray Road is cracking it open. That's what I think.
I'm giving the advantage to Beast of Bray Road for that fact of like, there's a whole lot of scenarios where I survive fighting the fucking tortoise than I do fighting the Beast of Bray Road.
He's got more weapons. Beast of Bray Road's got more weapons.
Yeah.
He's got the speed. He's got dexterous arms. You know.
He's got the smell, obviously.
Just a fucking turtle. I don't know. I'm going Beast of Bray Road. That's one vote. Braden?
Beast of Bray Road
two
as
votes.
Well.
Dan?
I'd Beast of Bray Road.
Oh, 3-1 again. Andrew gets defeated 3-1 in the votes against on
you
the
You know
cryptids.
What? There always could be an upset, though. You never know.
TMNT turtle power.
Dude, that's right. You never, you can never discount a big upset in any fight.
Listen, any one of these cryptids has a punching chance, right? They're in the fight, they got a puncher's chance. They just got to land one.
Oh, in chat, someone's saying that the bottom shell is just as hard as the back shell. But
thank you.
Everyone fact check that. I have no idea. I know shit about turtles. So.
No, listen to in chat, whoever said that, they're right. Believe them. They're probably turtle experts.
All right, turtle experts.
If you guys want to change your votes, go ahead. It's fine.
Nope, I'm still going with it.
I still don't. I don't see how that's an advantage. You suck in. Yeah. Like,
okay, you
want to
know what the true advantage is? Fucking Mr. Tolka brings vanilla ice with him. And raps the entire time while this is going down. He's got a hype man. Game over.
He's got that's it. That's what it comes down to.
Vanilla Ice shows up. Like what?
Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Come on.
But it's just gonna be I just don't see him winning. Like if he starts to lose, it's gonna be. I would say this is either gonna go victory for the Beast of Bray Road or a draw because of. People are like, hey, fuck, get out of your shell, fight, do something. And he's just hiding in there.
Yeah, well, what happens if he gets completely out of his shell while the Beast of Bray Road isn't looking and he starts pounding away on that shell again and he comes out there naked, puts him in a rear naked choke, game fucking over.
No, another expert has just chimed in on chat. they call it a plastron of a snapping turtle is not full coverage on the underbelly. Bray flips the turtle over. It's over.
Yeah, but why? I don't understand why, like, that's going to be the Beast of Bray Road's entire fucking anatomy is going to be just as soft as the fucking tortoises.
Yeah, but
it's not like that. It's like part. Pure muscle. Like,
so why wouldn't the turtle's solid? Underbelly be muscle too? I'm confused. Why is
I'm
it any different?
The turtle is going to be slower and not as agile. So I'm like, if he takes a running hit from the fucking Beast of Bray Road and falls, it's over.
I'd say so. But I still saying though, you can never count out a good upset. So
yeah,
you never know.
I mean, I'm just
because even if they locked hands and they're just going at each other's faces,
I don't know. Everything I've learned in my childhood told me that you can't fuck with a turtle.
The Beast of Bray Road would really doesn't even have to like get at the neck. Like he could if he got a hold of one of the limbs and just whip that thing off. Again, the turtle just bleeds out.
Yeah, but I'd imagine, like, I'm assuming this turtle is just as big and strong as this guy, though. It's not just going to randomly get his limbs plucked off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I'm envisioning this. But
I just think he's going to be too slow in this fight. He's got a lot of weapons. He's got a lot of...
We're going to have to wait for the
whole fight. He's got tons of defense, man.
Yeah, but with one huge problem. If he goes full defense, he's then exposed by his belly and his underside.
No, but he's got a small part on his belly that's not as strong as the other ones, and he can come out of his shell whenever fuck he wants.
Andrew, are you going defense wins championships here or what? Is that what you're saying?
Always. Always.
All right, well, we're going to have to wait till the live fights and really see how this battle unfolds because it's a toss-up. Andrew's put up a good fight. I could see how an upset could happen, but chances... I'm a betting man. I don't like those low odds.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for the turtle. Now, if you're going turtle versus one of these cats, sure.
Yeah, turtle versus cat.
I would say the turtle against the Beast of Baltimore, I'd go turtle.
Yeah, if this is a bracket, keep fighting to the death, turtle. Turtle beats the cat for sure.
Well, maybe the turtle will pick up a nice bronze medal. Who knows?
No, I just see the fucking cats batting the shell around.
Yeah, and then they're getting bored and like looking around, and the turtle just being like, whoop, grabbing it, pulling it in, chomping it.
Have to wait and see. Wait and see.
All right, let's see. What do we got for round three?
Next battle.
Round three.
I like this because I learn about new cryptids I never knew about.
Oh, this we got some monsters coming up here.
Round three, you have the Wendigo versus the lesser known but no less intimidating Brosno Dragon. If you don't know about the Wendigo, Wendigo has been featured in many popular media. If you watch Supernatural TV shows, movies, it always kind of pops up every now and then. The classic depiction of a Wendigo is said to be about 10 to 15 feet tall. The body's often described as being emaciated. They're nothing but skin and bones, perhaps, but they're still quite strong. People claim them to be unusually fast, uncannily fast. They can endure walking for long periods, and they don't mind harsh weather. So cold, rain, things like that don't affect them. They can just walk. Some people say they're fast, but others people say that they move in kind of a more like shuffling manner, like more zombie fashion, like they're trying, like they're falling apart. If you don't know what a Wendigo is, it's usually it's relegated to Native American. A couple of different Native American cultures have the story of the Wendigo, which is a creature that is created when a person is possessed by the Wendigo demon. And that usually happens when a person commits the cardinal sin of cannibalism. So people have said that this is probably stems from times when either hunting parties or certain tribes got caught within certain areas where it was cold and no food and had to resort to, cannibalism, so eating each other,
if you chomp,
eating dead bodies.
If you chomp down on some human flesh, then you can become a Wendigo?
That tends to be the case. Some stories say that it's when a person becomes too greedy, if a person becomes too decadent and things like that, the Wendigo demon can take control of a person. The Wendigo has been around for a long time. The legends go back hundreds of years. But even people at the turn of the 20th century, people from the Algonquin tribe said that they had a large number of people who went missing mysteriously, and they blamed that on the Wendigo. They believed that that's what was happening. There's an actual cave of the Wendigo in Ontario, Canada. So its legend spreads at least that far, or at least people who have seen the cave, archaeologists kind of interpret the paintings to be these large hair-covered men. Could be Sasquatches, I don't know, but also could be Wendigos, and they say that they resemble the mythological creature of the Wendigo.
Also, a little known fact about the Wendigo is it made his debut in The Incredible Hulk number 162.
Yes.
Did he?
The Hulk has fought the Wendigo.
Fucking right, man. So really famous. He actually took part in Wolverine's first appearance too in Incredible Hulk number 181. Where Hulk's going one-on-one with Wendigo, and then Wolverine comes flying out of the fucking great Canadian bushes there and fucking joins in the battle.
So the Wendigo has stood toe-to-toe with the Hulk and Wolverine at the same time.
Well, he's got the height ranges up to 15 feet tall. Really, really fast. Superhuman speed, superhuman strength.
Also the ability to mimic human voices.
Yeah, terrifying.
Is one of its qualities.
They have enhanced smelling and hearing, and they have the ability to hunt in total complete darkness. They've got really long claws. And if they continually consume human flesh, they can technically live forever.
Aren't they painted with sometimes with almost like elk antlers? Or it's like big antlers and stuff too. I've seen pictures of like,
I've seen representations like that. But a lot of it, most of them just have like the bone. I've seen different pictures where it just looks like kind of a zombie-like human with elongated limbs, elongated, emaciated limbs and things like that. And just like the teeth have turned into kind of jagged fangs.
So we're talking like a 15 foot, like flesh shedding zombie human speed creature.
Yeah, like undead creature.
Speed creature,
right?
Super fast, maybe with antlers, maybe not, but just like tall, lanky, skin peeling off of it.
Yep. So we pitted him up against the Brosno dragon cryptid, and the Brosno dragon is native to Lake Brosno, which is located in the Tver region of Russia. So it comes from behind the Iron Curtain. This is actually like a really weird place because it's noted for having like the lake is surrounded by this abandoned village, lots of crumbling houses. They even say one part of the lake features like a half sunken church. It's like a really creepy area. It's like uninhabited at this point, so you kind of have to trek to get out there, I believe. This creature is described as being 16 feet long. It is a dragon-like creature, as the name suggests, and it has been reported as having either a fish-like or serpentine head, so one of the two, right?
Gyarados?
Could be a Gyarados.
Probably. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking right now.
It's also known as Brosnia, which is the name given to the monster, which is, I think it's like in near Andriapol in West Russia as well. Could be one of the same ones, I think. A lot of people are skeptical of its existence, but the history of this creature goes back at least it goes back to like the 13th century. So people were believed that this creature actually turned away or scared to death the Tatar Mongol army that was headed for Novgorod. during that period.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, there was like Mongol hordes were kind of going back and forth around that area, like that steppe area, like the Russian.
Novigrad,
area,
isn't that from Skyrim?
Yeah, Dan, sounds, yes. Talking video sounds like some Skyrim.
So anyways, so the Dragonborn. Now it's the Dragonborn. It's probably a skeletal dragon. It's probably what it is.
My favorite thing is looking up the Brosno dragon is like a couple things that I read where it's like skeptics say that this is nothing more than a giant mutant beaver. And I'm like, wait, what? Like,
didn't we talk about a fucking beaver that was holding a fucking community hostage one time?
Sounds like something that would happen. That sounds very Canadian.
Have you ever seen a beaver? There was a beaver roaming around our community just this weekend, basically doing the same thing. Like, no one could cross it because it was just fucking around. They didn't come and push it back into the ocean.
Yeah, don't fuck with beavers, man.
No, fuck no.
Tail slap.
Well, if it is a giant mutant beaver, it's pretty fucking tough because this thing was said to have swallowed an entire German airplane during World War II.
Dude, it's fucking Gyarados. Look at this. That's fucking Gyarados. That's the Brazo dragon.
What? Oh, that's a picture of Lagacris from fucking Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that's what they...
I guess, yeah, that's what it would probably be. Yeah, that's Lagacris from fucking... that's from Monster Hunter.
Just picture Gyarados. That's what it is. The fucking Gyarados. What was his attack in original Pokemon? First 150?
Hyper Beam.
Was it Hyper Beam?
Yeah. Hyper Beam or Hydro Pump. Those are the two good ones.
So this guy, he's shooting Hydro Beam right away. Game over. One shot kill.
This is a bad, you know what? Because I would say Wendigo is a beast. Absolute beast. But this is a bad matchup for him on land or water. The Brosno dragon's just too big. I guess unless it's...
It can't be on land.
No, they're both about...
They're both same size.
The Brosno dragon's like 16 feet long and the Wendigo is like 15 feet. Well, so they're about the same size.
When he swallows a plane, I guess planes were smaller back then.
I mean, for like a little fighter plane, maybe.
And I guess if he's like a snake and he just like unhinges his jaw and like...
Well, it could have been just a misconception. Maybe he just like he chomped the plane out of midair, didn't actually like swallow it whole. He just, you know, bit out of midair. Yeah. Maybe.
This is a tough one. In water, 100%, it's going to the Brosno dragon. Any kind of water environment.
Is the dragon amphibious? It's on land. Is he amphibious?
Well, it lives in the lake.
He can't come out. He just don't have like little.
I'm not saying he can't come out, but if he comes out, I give an advantage to the Wendigo at that point because if it's dark out, which it probably would be because I don't imagine Wendigo's hanging out at high noon, right? It's really fast. It can mimic voices, so it's fucking around with where you're looking. It knows where you are. It doesn't need to see, right? Whereas the Brosno dragon at that point is just all power and like gnashing around. But if this thing got around and just like ran by, like clawed it a bunch of times, right? Like little stealth attacks.
Yeah, I agree with that. This another one would be where are they fighting? Where are they fighting? I guess the fairest fight would be like on a pier, where like the Wendigo is on the pier, the dragon's trying to attack him from the water, and they're like, you know, having the dance.
Yeah, I you know what? I'll say right now, I'm gonna give it to a Wendigo. It doesn't matter either way, because even in water, I think on the water's edge, on a pier, anything. The Wendigo is going to lure it out, mimicking voices.
Over here.
Right? Mimicking prey, someone hurt, someone vulnerable. It's going to get this thing to where it wants it to be.
And then strike.
Right? And then scrap it. Yeah, and then strike. So I'm going to give it, like, I think Wendigo is just, it's more clever. This thing's a beast, right? Like, it's Wendigo's intelligent, right? Wendigo is
like, it has the supernatural advantage, whereas the Brosno dragon seems like just a beast of the water.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I give it to Wendigo based on the intelligence. It's going to lure it. It's going to put it in a position where it can defeat it. So what do you think?
But what if it doesn't? That's what I mean.
What do you think?
Oh, it's battlefield though. I'm gonna say if the battlefield's more or less if it's on a pier, Brosno dragon's lurking beneath the water. You don't know where he's gonna rise up. If he catches the Wendigo on the blind side and can get him into the water, then I give the edge to the dragon, just of sheer advantage of the domain. But if Wendigo turns around and catches them on the way up trying to for the sneak attack, once Wendigo uses, it's fucking supernatural beast. I don't think we can even comprehend the type of power the Wendigo has. He might only be 15 feet tall, but he could have the strength. You know, he could be so strong you couldn't even fathom. He maybe just fucking grabs the dragon, gives it a quick sidewalk slam on the pier, breaks his back, grabs him by the tail.
Oh, my God.
Grabs him by the tail.
Through the pier.
Grabs him by the tail, does a couple, you know, does a little hammer.
Has him in a knot.
Hammer toss, 3-4 turns, and just launches him onto shore. And then by that time, it's over. It's game over. I'm going Wendigo. Supernatural power. You can't sneak up on him. He's supernatural. He's going to grab you, break his back, throw him onto shore, and just have his way. Game over. Wendigo. Andrew?
Well, I got to go back to the fucking evidence, and I have evidence of the Hulk going 1v1 with Fin Fang Foom, and the Hulk wins. So there you go. A guy that can go 1v1 with the Hulk, Wendigo, yep. We've seen it. It happens. Hulk comes out on top, obviously. But I've seen the Hulk run through Fin Fang Foom like he's fucking nothing. So okay. if he can do that. But for me, the big thing is it's water. I don't think it's a fair fight to begin with if Wendigo is anywhere near fucking water. If he's near water, it's the fucking dragon 9 times out of 10.
All right. Fair. Dan?
Dan?
I don't know. I might give it to the Brosno dragon. Like, ooh. I'd give it to just the fact that...
Split decision.
Like, the Brosno dragon, I mean, it's a fucking dragon. Or if it's some sort of, like, sea dragon creature, it's still going to be, like a fucking crocodile. It's, like, saltwater crocodiles are fucking scary.
Yes.
Yeah, like, a 20-foot long... Okay, however long... Yeah, they get, like, 20 foot. Like, 28, maybe, like, 17 feet long. Those things are fucking nasty. And if he gets a hold of like the, you know, if he gets a hold of like one of the Wendigo's limbs or something like that, death into a death roll, rip that thing right off. Yeah, I mean, you guys seen the video where the one crocodile rips off another crocodile's leg?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
One bite and one turn and it's over.
Yeah, it's boom, it's gone.
Done.
And I can't imagine like there's much like I don't think the Wendigo can become like incorporeal. Necessarily.
What does that mean?
So like
asking for a friend.
It's like emaciated and things like that. I can't imagine that there's much like holding it together. You know? So if it gets on there and it rips off one of the arms, I mean it might not bleed to death because
it's undead
blood or whatever, yeah. But like you just rip it to pieces. And I think, I mean, if it can rip apart like German engineered, you know, fighter plane. And I wouldn't think it wouldn't have, if it could shear through metal, I don't think it would have a problem fucking around with like decayed flesh.
This is a supernatural beast though. What's to say it can't grow another limb?
Well, that's what they're saying though. It'd have to consume human flesh. So it's like, if there's no people around, he's not snacking down on, you know, some villagers or something. Like,
but he's got a backpack on of just little snacks in the back. Just
I would say this is the one I'm most torn. So far, this is the one I've been most torn about.
Yeah. Since Dan gave his thing there, because I would agree that the water, like the water dragon would have the weight advantage by a lot. Just in general, like creatures that live in the water can weigh way more because they don't have to deal with, they're not fighting gravity the whole time like that. So yeah, if he got the Wendigo, toast, I think. But I still stand by my supernatural power. That you can't underestimate
split decision.
That. Yeah.
Not to mention this Wendigo, he's probably Canadian.
Bonus points for Canadian. Yep.
There you go.
A little stronger.
If that fucking dragon's wearing a jersey, he's fucked.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well put. If you throw a wrinkle in it where he's wearing a jersey.
Game over.
And he doesn't have a jersey tie down, like a fight tie down strap. Once Wendigo gets the jersey over the fucking dragon's head.
He's eating uppies, bud.
Yeah. Game over.
Eating uppies. Getting fed knuckle sandwiches. All right. You know what time it is. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ding, 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 ding.
Welcome to One Cryptid Suicide. Tonight, the cryptid belt is on the line. $1 million is on the line. One cryptid's life is on the line. Bigfoot, you want the belt? Come and get it. It's on top of the cage of death, which is yet on top of another cage, which is yet on top of another cages. Three cages, two cryptids, one belt, triple cage. Come on down.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
This match is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
We have our main event. We have the challenger, Stalin's Ape Man. The Ape Man cryptid. Rumored to have been created in 1926 by the famed Russian biologist. His name was Ilya.
Ivanov.
Ilya Ivanov, right?
Yeah,
that's his name. Ilya Ivanov. And he was a famed zoologist at the time, and he believed that he would be able to produce an ape-human hybrid from artificially inseminating a woman with monkey juice.
Dude, this is El Nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty as fuck.
That is some El Nasty.
Smell nasty shit.
Comrade Nasty.
Yeah, he had to, you know, he pitched this project to the Russian Academy of Sciences as a way of proving Darwin right. And this was going to be their blow against religion for the communist regime. You know, that was the kind of the whole thing for communist Russia, was kind of throwing out religion. So he was going to be like, we do this. Yeah, we got one up on God. Originally, he wanted to do it with unsuspecting women because it wasn't unethical enough, I guess. But eventually, he had to actually seek volunteers. Damn. So there were actually women who volunteered
to be part
of this project. I don't know what. I'm not 100% sure what they offered them.
They volunteered, Dan. They volunteered
To produce the next generation of ape monkey men. You know, Ivanov wasn't without previous successes. You know, before he had done this, he had successfully produced a Z-donk, which is a zebra and a donkey hybrid.
Horrible animal.
A Zubron, which is a some
Zubron
sort of,
James.
That's a bison cow cross. And also managed to produce some combinations of like rats, mice, guinea pigs, and rabbits. A guinea pig and rabbit would be pretty rad.
Pretty rad.
Strange. They claim that none of his experiments ever worked. And at some point during the mid-1930s, they had got fed up with his crazy shit and they exiled him to Kazakhstan, where he perhaps successfully created
Borat,
a true man hybrid.
So we're talking about. So we're talking like for this, Stalin's ape man is basically would be like a silverback gorilla, but with the brain of a human. So it's very smart, conscious.
Because he went to Zanzibar, I think.
Zanzibar,
to Africa to retrieve chimpanzees.
Fuck, man, chimps are scary too.
Yeah, but
I would have never had you like, you know what, like 6-7 years ago, if you would have told me like, oh, it mixed with the chimp, I would have been like, so? And then like after seeing like that, learning about chimps and that woman getting her face torn off,
ripped,
I'm like,
off.
Oh, dude, chimps are scary as fuck.
Dude, chimps go to war. They're fucking, they're savages. And they're, how much stronger are chimpanzees compared to humans, like pound for pound?
Insanely strong.
Like they rip your limbs off.
Like, yeah, like without even thinking about it.
Like you just pull your arm right clean out of your socket. Just
buddy, they're solid muscle. They're fucking jacked.
Because they're not like, what are they, like 150 pounds, a big chimp? Or how big are they?
A big chimp?
Yeah, like a big chimp.
Like a full-grown male chimp.
Male
I'm
chimp.
Not sure.
Anyways, they are, so a chimp is that strong. So it's pretty much a large chimp, a large intelligent chimp is what we're dealing with here.
All right. Wild adult males can get up to between 40 to 70 kilograms. So we'll say that Ivanov probably picked on the big size.
72.2, so 100, you know, you're 160 pounds.
150 pounds.
Zell, I gave you a fucking chimp in the group chat. Have a look at that and give that a post. This is what I'm picturing. This is
what you're picturing?
This is a real chimp.
All right, let me find this fucking chimp here.
Is it just a picture of you?
I want nothing to do with it. Yeah.
Is it the shaved?
Oh my God.
Yeah, don't ever fuck with that chimp. Look at the set of nuts on this guy. I want nothing to do with him. I want nothing to do with him.
It's really tight. I don't know if you can really see that, but there's a chimp. It looks like The Rock.
He's fucking jacked.
Oh, is that one of those chimps that has like alopecia and he's just like.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's got no hair.
He doesn't have any hair. Alopecia is when you don't have any pigment, so you'd be all white, wouldn't you?
No.
Oh, no, alopecia. No, that's a.
Alopecia is no hair.
No hair.
Alopecia is no hair. What's when you're all white? Albino. Albino. When you're having.
Listen, there's not a. I'll say right now, Dan, I love in your note. I just pulled up your notes. You've got all these notes for Stalin's Mountain Ape. And for Sasquatch, your notes are, he's fucking Sasquatch.
He's fucking Sasquatch.
Sasquatch is the Sasquatch is the reigning champion of the Cryptid Crushathon. You know, he doesn't really need introduction. He's Sasquatch.
Dude, Giants. We all know. Even Harry and the Hendersons, like, that's what I'm picturing in this fight. But there's the chimp is just, he's the underdog in this. Right away.
He's too small.
Because I'm like, he's too small, and as strong as chimps are and as smart as humans, I'm like,
that's chimps to humans.
Bigfoot is huge.
But you have to think about hybrids. And if you think about hybrids, when you think about, for example, tigers and lions, when they produce a liger,
that's
or a
huge.
Tigon, what happens to them is that often, they had this kind of imbalance in their hormones, like one of their hormones doesn't produce right or keeps producing, and they actually increase in size, like they keep growing.
Yeah, they get lagers get fucking massive, man.
Thing to remember here is it's fucking Russian. Think about the anabolic steroids that this beast is on. He's juiced to fucking tits. This is not an ape. This is fucking Bane. This is fucking. All right.
It's fucking dude, Ivan this is Drago,
Ivan.
Dude.
This is the Ivan Drago of fucking beasts.
And here's the thing. We look at that. Ivan we look Congo. At that chimp. And that's that chimp, that picture of that chimp, that picture that we just looked Ivan at of that Congo? Yoke chimp.
Yep.
That's a chimp who doesn't know how to work out and doesn't have any like performance enhancing drugs. Now you put that thing in Russia with like a human brain that can train and fight. Now it's starting to get scarier
buddy,
for
this
me.
Because I'm like, fucking, this is Rocky IV. This is fucking North America versus Russia. Yeah. This is Nikolai Volkov, Hulk Hogan. This is fucking everything.
Okay, so you're saying we have a chimp-human hybrid on fucking steroids, and the hybrid program has resulted in...
And like Universal Soldier, like trained for killing.
And this is Ivan Congo, like Dan put it. It's perfect.
And they never stop growing like a tiger and a lion. The hybrid produces a much stronger, bigger chimp human with the human brain with chimp strengths times whatever. But still, you're going against the world champion cryptid. First of all, he's at least, judging from accounts, anywhere from 7 to 10 feet tall, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 800 pounds of pure muscle, ape-like, so he's got the ape strength like a chimp, but he's way bigger naturally. He can fucking teleport. He can dematerialize and rematerialize almost instantly. It's fucking Sasquatch I'm talking here.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the dematerialize.
Dude, footprints.
I know
footprints
he can move
go.
Extremely fast.
Footprints go, they follow the footprints, and then the footprints fucking disappear, and they'll reappear like 400 feet later. Like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
That could just mean that he jumps really far. Because it has been recorded that they do that, you know, it has been reported sightings of Sasquatches jumping very far. Like they can leap like an entire highway.
Well, that's like, okay. That's even better. Bonus for Sasquatch. You can just jump football field.
Well,
I would
put instant transmission over fucking like Hulk like leaps. I think that instant transmission is a little bit more useful, personally.
Yeah. I mean, either way.
Teleports behind you.
Yeah.
this is one of those ones where it's like you've got hard work versus talent. You know what I mean? Like the chimps, you got someone's put in hard work. And they always say hard work beats talent until talent works hard. And you put these two things in a fight, Bigfoot's still a beast. It's still an animal. and that chimp still has a human brain. You know what I mean? And my human brain says, like, you got fear. You're scared. And an animal just is pure instinct.
Yeah, like, plus he's going up against the champ. So the, you know, Sasquatch has got that advantage. He's got the champion advantage. Natural intimidation.
The psychological game is in Sasquatch's favor right off the bat.
Personally, for me to make this decision, I need some fucking context on the situation. Like, did this Stalin's man ape, did he fight Sasquatch's best friend and kill him in the ring? Apollo cryptid. Did he kill Apollo cryptid? That's what I need to know, right? Did Sasquatch train during fucking montage videos?
I mean, working his way through the cryptid ranks, I'm pretty sure I heard a thing about the man ape meeting up with the Yeti in the Himalayas, because he had to get over here, right?
Yep.
Did he get the eye of the tiger there? Is that what happened?
Pretty sure he stopped the Yeti pretty bad.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, is Sasquatch running in the snow with fucking, you know what I mean, tree trunks on his back? Like, is he
putting
in that work?
To.
I mean, it snows pretty
He doesn't
well
have
in the
to.
Pacific
Sasquatch
does
not have
right?
to run anywhere.
He does. Oh, he does. He's got to put in the time, man. He's got to have the training montage. Hearts on Fire needs to be playing. It's very technical.
So we got
Sasquatches are known to be migratory creatures.
There you go. Good,
he's running up and down the Pacific Northwest up there. That's a long trek.
So we're here. We have Team North America, because Sasquatch is North America wide, versus the engineered Mother Russia hybrid wannabe Sasquatch, who's nowhere close to as good. In my mind, that's what I've seen here. He wants to be. He thinks he might be, but not. No chance. I'm going with a quick knockout here. A quick knockout. They're very similar creatures. Biped ape-like creatures. Maybe if you go with the human touch of the Russian hybrid, maybe they have a little smarter, but maybe not, because no one's ever fucking caught Bigfoot. He is the social distancing champ of the world since the dawn of mankind.
I mean, you also got to take in fact, too, that if this Russian man-ape is going to have a human brain, he's not going to have that primal fucking rage that Sasquatch has. Sasquatch has got a completely other gear, man.
It's true. Savage.
Yeah, I got to give it to Sasquatch, because he's a fucking giant ape, man. Like, even if this chimp, we're trying to pump up Stalin's man ape. We're trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he's bigger than any other chimp, if the mix between human and chimp allows the chimp to grow bigger like a liger, we're taking a lot of ifs with him to even give him a fighting chance. My money's on Bigfoot.
Boom. Bigfoot, motherfucker.
I mean, Bigfoot is a real North American.
It's a real North American.
Hide in the trees like any man.
I don't know. I think it would be a good fight, because I would figure the Stalin's man ape has had training.
Okay.
I would figure that he's got, like, he's been training in the KGB and the fucking Spetsnaz. Like, I'm sure he's trained in all kinds of hand-to-hand combat techniques. I'm sure he put up a pretty good. He could put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah,
he's
going
to be quick.
You don't know if you're trained in hand-to-hand combat with a Spetsnaz. You don't know if those techniques are even the same on Bigfoot. Bigfoot might have a completely different anatomy. You might be going
even,
for a pressure
point. And that doesn't
point.
Matter. It's like, okay, let's go fucking fighting techniques that I learned in Russia. How would those fare against a bear? Because it's a wild animal.
You're like, fighting a grizzly bear.
It is a fact that Russians fight bears all the time.
I have seen some Russian kids fight some bears.
That is a fact.
That's true. I have seen this, and it's weird.
And also, we don't know if the man ape has been training against El Nasties.
Oh, so you think the man ape has been trained against some caught wild El Nasties from the...
I think the El Nasties are his trainers, because the El Nasties are the original Russian Bigfoots, and they're...
What was that mountain range called? Ural Mountains?
Right.
So they rounded up some El Nasties from the Ural Mountains, bring them in as trainers to train man-ape versus El Nasty, which is a similar to a Bigfoot, maybe not as strong. So you're saying those techniques may pay off in the long run. We have a We got a cage prize fighter versus the cryptid champion of the world is what we got here. Yeah. Trained all the deadly martial arts versus a wild beast who can teleport and has unimaginable strength and his hide and seek game is, first of all, you got to find Bigfoot. You're not just going to find him. He's going to find you first in the fight.
I just think it's going to be a good fight. So I think it's going to be a good fight. I wouldn't put it up as like a blowout. I wouldn't go that far. I think Sasquatch is going to have his hands full.
I think Sasquatch is going to pull the Russian hybrid, both his arms out of, just completely off, and beat him to death with his own arms. It's going to be like a human fighting us ape, fighting a really strong chimpanzee is going to be like Bigfoot fighting this guy.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Other way around. That's what I think too. I think the man ape's going to come in with a lot. He's been fucking up humans, pulling their arms off, thinking he's all yoked. And then he's going to step in the ring with a great ape.
Boom.
And he's going to get hit, torn in half.
Quick fight. That's what I predict.
I'm saying you throw a chimpanzee in a ring with a silverback. Who you got?
It's over in a second. Silverback. Doom, pull in half.
Silverback, 100%. Dude, 100% kills the chimp any day of the week. So the fact that we're even...
We should just end the podcast right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm saying, like, Spetsnaz, they do all the kind of crazy Krav Maga. He could be gouging eyes out, kicking out knees.
Maybe the Spetsnaz, maybe they give him like a hidden fucking ankle fucking blade or something, and he's cheating.
That's true.
No, they're all checked dirty. Before the fights. They're checked. All checked.
No legal blades. No brass
That's
knuckles.
Bush league, man. No
brass knuckles. No,
what you got?
No.
You don't know if he's hiding razor blades in his mouth.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You put a UFC cage match together with Stalin's man ape and just a silverback gorilla. I give it to the silverback gorilla. You know what I mean? Like, even with the smarts and stuff, there's just something about that size and just pure power. He's going to pull that chip apart, even with the Soviet man brain. Like I said, we're throwing a lot of ifs to even give the Stalin man ape a fighting chance.
I agree.
A lot of ifs around. And that's why I got to give it to my boy Bigfoot. He's retaining the belt.
We got in chat, it's going to be like C-3PO getting his ass whipped by Chewbacca. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's pull those arms clean off. Pop, pop. Psh, psh. Okay, we got two for Bigfoot.
I agree.
Dan? Going close?
Yeah, I would say Bigfoot too.
But closer. You're going closer.
But I don't think it's going to be a blowout like you guys are thinking it is. I don't think it's going to be that.
All right. We've got three Bigfoots, but one Bigfoot not by blowout. Two Bigfoots by instant win.
Yeah. Two Bigfoot KOs, one Bigfoot by decision.
Andrew,
what do you got?
Well, okay. I just want to play contrarian now, but you know what I mean? Like, because you gotta know the man apes on PEDs. And we're not doing piss tests before this fight.
Nope.
No.
No. No, we're not. So, nope. You know what I mean? Who knows?
You're
going
to tell Sasquatch to pee in a cup? I'm not going to do it.
No. Fuck no. I mean, it's got to be Sasquatch, though. It has to be. I can't even I just can't do it.
That's an anonymous Sasquatch.
I want to. I want Ivan Congo. I want him to win, but he's not going to.
Dude, Dan nailed it perfectly at the start when he wrote in the notes, it's fucking Sasquatch. That's it. That's all the notes said. There was nothing else about Sasquatch because you know.
What else do you write?
Because I love betting on the underdog, though. I do. I love betting on the underdog.
Wait, you know what? Kate, it's extra weird because you.
Go for it.
I like Wendigo versus Bigfoot. I think Wendigo matches up a little bit better against Bigfoot than Stalin's Manape does. Like with their powers and stuff, I think that's that would be a closer matchup. So if we see who wins, if Wendigo beats Brosno Dragon, Wendigo might be getting a title shot coming up.
The guy's a fucking cannibal. He'll do it all. The guy fights dirty. Right?
I'm saying that's.
We'll have to wait for that one.
He's got the voice mimicking. So obviously he can make a mimic of a Bigfoot call, right? Bigfoot is a beast. Semi-intelligent beast, but it's still a beast, right? So you're getting intelligence versus beast. You get the matching superhuman abilities. Right, I like that matchup. I like that. We can see a big upset there, but Wendigo's got a huge test in the Brosno Dragon. You know, we all split decision on that one. We don't know, 50, we don't know 50. Where it's going to go. So anyways, but that's I Bigfoot over Manape all day, every day.
I agree. Yeah, you're going to have to tune in to when to the live fights. To the live fights.
Yeah, we're live streaming the fights. Should be good. I'm really excited. Considering the lack of sports going on right now, I'm really fucking excited for this.
Yeah. I'm glad they're the pay-per-view still on, and we're going to be able to watch it. That's going to be the best thing.
Yeah, official date hasn't been announced, but the fights are coming. With a fight like this, yeah. You don't really know when it's going to take place. Could just happen.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Dana Black said they're happening somewhere on Earth, no matter what.
Somewhere.
Private island somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere in this universe, they're happening, he said.
He didn't say when, but they are happening. You can bet your bottom dollar on that.
All right. Let's, Zell, since we have all the fights done today and learned about some new cryptids, why don't we get into some space news?
Ooh, yeah.
This was an interesting one. I only have the headline. Trump recently signed an executive order to allow moon mining.
Moon? What are they mining on the moon?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Oh, cool.
Delicious moon cheese.
Delicious moon cheese.
Yeah.
How do you sign an executive order to be like, you can mine the moon? Like, well, who's going to, number one, who's going to say no? Because then it's like, but really? Like, you don't own the moon.
Is it, are they going to mine for water or something? Or
no,
I didn't really say everything was pretty vague.
Yeah. If you're going to mine the moon, you got to, you like, because most minerals are on Earth, like that we want to use are on Earth. So something have to be something on the moon would have to be like helium-3 or some other type of like energy source that could be used for propulsion or like energy production or something. Something we couldn't get on Earth, because that would be like the amount of money to get to the moon and mine and get back. Like, I can only imagine how non-feasible,
you know what, though?
That would be for anything.
Here's the thing. It's an expensive startup, but if we get a moon base and stuff, and say we find oil on the moon.
Oh,
I'm just saying hypothetical, not going to happen, but just say we say moon oil. It's not the same. It's not from a living creature, but we can use it in our cars or whatever. It would be far cheaper to send that oil from like to launch it from the moon to Earth, right? Because there's less gravity. You're going to use less fuel on the launch, right? It's harder to get it. The startup, but I once you're it. Set up, I think the cost would exponentially drop, especially with our reusable rockets we have now. The gravity of the moon would be far easier to launch shit off there.
That's what I mean.
We're gonna have the 7-Eleven and gas stop and stop and save
the gateway
in between the two.
The gateway,
yeah, the gateway, lunar gateway. We're gonna be all set up, man.
You heard it here.
Lunar highway.
I get that, but that's what I mean. So whatever's on the moon would have to not be on Earth, because no matter what, it would always be cheaper to mine it on Earth.
Yeah. I think this is a little bit of a power play with everything. I think people are just wanting to get their ducks in a row with all this talk about going back to the moon, getting settlements on Mars. If they make a discovery of something they can mine, they don't want anything, any like, oh, should we... Can we this, that? It's like, well, we're already allowed because we've signed these things in the past saying that if we find something, we can mine it. We can exploit the shit out of it way before anyone can be like, stop, and should we be doing this?
Right.
Right. It's just, to me, that's what it is for me. It's just like, yeah, let's cut some ribbons before some red tape before we get there.
Let's make some headlines.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's about it.
Because I am curious to how you say you just authorize people to mine on the moon. It's like, you can't just be like, yeah.
You don't own the moon.
You don't own
You know
the
how
moon?
Excited Bruce Willis was when he heard this?
Dude, we got hundreds or thousands of Albertans that are professional drillers that would seize the opportunity to go to the moon and drill in a second.
Yeah.
Drill for that sweet, sweet moon oil.
April super pink moon is the biggest full moon of 2020. Tuesday, April 7th. So this podcast is probably just missing it. If you're listening live, you can watch it. What's the date today? 6th?
6th.
There's a giant supermoon. It's going to be the biggest moon of 2020.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not cloudy.
Happy 2020 knows.
Got myself
hopefully
a pair of
binoculars.
Hopefully
the moon doesn't crash into fucking Earth at this the way this year's going.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Incoming asteroid.
What else you guys got for space news?
Oh, I had third Starship prototype destroyed in tanking test. So as they keep building the Starship, which is that big steel, what's the ship from Futurama?
Planet Express.
Planet Express.
The Tesla, the SpaceX's Planet Express ship, they keep testing it and blowing it up to, like, you know, to see how far it will go. And they just blew it up. And let's watch the video because it's pretty cool. So they're doing like a pressurized test. So they're trying to pressurize systems right to the max. And then it collapsed. You can watch it right here if you're on the live stream. It's going, boom, and it just buckles.
Oh. Ooh,
just crumbles. But it was not unexpected. They said they were doing that. They were pressurizing as far as they could just to see what the buckling point was going to be.
Cool.
But that's pretty sweet. So one step closer to having a stainless steel Starship is what it looks like going to Mars.
I think it looks fucking sweet.
Dope. Yeah, it just fucking buckles, man. They pressurize. And it's just like in an instant, like a third of the ship just crumbles. Pop, snap, and just falls apart. Pretty cool. If you want to check that video out, you can find it on spacenews.com, or you can just look at that live stream on our YouTube channel. And that's all I had for Space News. Dan?
I have a bit, because I love this fucking title. I told Andrew. Andrew loves this title as well. Heavy metal alien planet may be shaped like a football.
Heavy metal.
Wow.
Finally some space news for me. That's where I want to live. If I'm going to space, I'm going to that fucking place.
And for our Australian and UK listeners, that's an American football, just in case you're like, yeah, duh. Like, they're all, everything, all planes are shaped like footballs. Scientists have been investigating KOI 1843.03, which is an exoplanet candidate that is orbiting a red dwarf star and is about 395 light years from us. It seems that it has 44% of Earth's mass and about 60% of Earth's diameter. So it's a little bit smaller. They think that the shape can be attributed to its orbital pattern, because it orbits its star at about 4.24 hours for a year.
Oh,
so
shit.
Their whole year is about 4 hours. It's about 1/6 of a day here on Earth. So this thing is just whipping around that red dwarf star. And they're thinking that that is kind of shaped it the way that it is. Like these forces that have, you know, that are working on the planet have just like shaped it into the kind of like an oval shape.
Cool.
It's pretty nuts. It's pretty weird looking.
All I know is if Andrew likes it, it's probably incomplete. Anything else, Space News?
That's it for Space News.
Let's hit that randomatron.
All right, let's do it. Firing it up right now. Printing, faxing, emailing, scanning, texting.
Wolf.
At the same time. Oh, shit. Oh, what's this? Mongoose Bow.
So, before we start this, as we know, obviously, this didn't happen to me, right? It happened to a friend. I have a friend. Of a friend of mine, right?
Of course.
So, and not even that. And from my understanding, that friend's not even that much of, like, the friend of a friend of a friend isn't even that much of a friend. He's an acquaintance.
Loosely.
He kind of knows the guy.
Barely there. He's barely
if,
there.
If you ask me, the guy's a bit of a fucking bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not the kind of guy you want to be around with.
I know that type of guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
I heard this guy's got some short man syndrome.
Totally. The kind of guy you want to give a fucking one star. Let's just say that.
Like he's got one full sleave on his left arm.
Whoa, you're getting a little too descriptive here, all right?
All right.
Relax. Okay.
All right.
Anyways.
He's the type of guy to do one of those push-up challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, and one
not,
asshole.
And not on, not to do a running challenge.
No.
Not a running challenge. Probably skip that. Fuck cardio.
Cardi, no.
Yeah. One of these guys. I think we've painted a picture.
He's probably a guy that's still fucking working, doesn't have time to run. But either way, let's get into this here.
Yeah.
Okay. So
these are semantics.
All right. This certain situation takes place around, you know what I mean? Early in the morning, a friend of a friend of mine shows up to work. He's about half an hour early for work, start a day shift. So he's pretty tired, a little bit groggy. You know, you see the night crew, they're in rough shape. They still got about half an hour left in their shift. My partner for the day rolls in and we're like, you know what, guys, why don't you go home early? We'll take over. You know what I mean? So the shift hadn't started, you know, hadn't even really started yet, but they're taking over. Within minutes of the night crew walking out the door, the phone rings, of course, right? Hop on the air. We need you to code 3. We have a psychiatric call at a construction site. Right, so it's like 6:15 in the morning. Not everything's clicking just yet. You know, you're a little foggy, haven't had the coffee yet. You know, things are going a little slow. So you're gonna drive into the call, working with a new partner for the first time, you know, trying to, you know, get to know the guy, cracked a few jokes. You know what I mean? I mean, like, yeah, I did construction. That, you know, if I was still doing it, that'd be enough to make me crazy, you know. Trying to get a laugh here. Didn't get one. Tough crowd. Show up to this skyscraper that's being built. It's about, you know, at that point in time, I believe there was about 28 floors. And we start hoofing it up these stairs and a guy's leading us to the scene and trying to get in kind of some information like, hey, man, like, what's going on? This is kind of weird. You know, like, is this a employee of your guys's or something like that? And he's like, no, man, we've never seen this guy before. You know, he just broke in. I'm like, oh, that's weird, you know. As you're going up all the floors and finally we get to the 28th floor and I'm like, why the fuck would the guy climb all the way up to the top of this? You know what I mean? I'm like, this is crazy. It's a huge walk. And the guy looks at me like I'm fucking stupid. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, obviously to jump off. And I'm like, well, I've completely miscalculated the situation. Like, don't you think that's some pertinent information that you should, you know, maybe let the dispatcher know? Like, it's a little bit out of my skill set.
Yeah, you're like, I help him when he's hit the ground.
You know, exactly, right? And so I'm like, okay, like, this is fucked. I'm like, we're going to go back down. And he's like, well, no, he's right there. Like, you got to talk to him. He's going to jump. And I'm like, you know, I'm just as fucking qualified to talk to this guy as the guy that led me up there is. You know what I mean? So I'm like, whatever. So we walk over to this guy that's on the end of the bench, kind of like full arms extended, being like, whoa, like fucking please don't jump. Like, you know what I mean? Try to find some common ground with this guy. And, you know, next thing you know, we're up there for about 10 minutes, get on the radio to dispatch being like, this is not what we thought it was. And as soon as the mics clicked, you can see the guy being like, who the fuck you talking to, man? And you're like, nobody. It's all good. You know, it's fine. Everything's good. And anyways, we let dispatch know that we're way over our fucking heads here. This is above our pay grades. We are not fucking ready for this. And they, okay, yeah. So they're going to send the police and the fire department and the high angle rescue, everybody. So I got to fill some time. I got to kill some time. So I'm sitting there striking up a conversation with this guy trying, you know, like I've seen the movies. I'm trying, you know, it's not worth it, man. There's got to be a better way. Let's find some common ground. You know what I mean? Just basically killing time. About 6-7 minutes later, I get a slap on the chest. All right, ambulance driver, you're good, buddy. Take off.
Ambulance driver.
You know, and I'm like, instantly the guy, you know, it says ambulance driver. And I'm like, you know, this guy's obviously not fucking talking to me. Ambulance driver. So, all right, not in a great mood, but I'm like, that's fine. Thank you for leaving me in this situation. I've already wet myself. So, you know, I need a new change of pants. So, you know what I mean? I felt like we made a bit of progress. The guy stepped back from the ledge. You know what I mean? We had a good talk from him. So we're, you know, walking down these stairs. I'm talking to my partner. I'm like, you know what, man? I think we did some good. Like, it sounds like this guy probably isn't going to jump, you know, so we can take some solace in that. And, you know, everything's okay. You know, within fucking, you know, 10 minutes, took us down to get to the bottom of the building, hop in the ambulance, start the engine to warm it up because it's cold. It's early in the morning. Backstreet Boys starts playing. You Are My Fire. You can hear him, you know, we're getting serenaded first thing in the morning after feeling like you did something good. You know what I mean? Talk to my partner. That was pretty crazy. Hey, well, you know, we did what we could. And then within 2 minutes, all of a sudden you kind of just look up and you can just see something come sailing.
No.
It lands about Like, I'm talking maybe 4 feet in front of the ambulance.
No!
Just, like, fucking departed. Like, just... Oh, man. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that went from feeling, you know, pretty proud of yourself to being like, oh, okay. You know. Well, maybe next time.
Me. Jesus.
Yeah. But, you know, that's...
Dude, when you're in those kind of jobs, though, like, people would be like, oh, you're cold. It's like, no, motherfucker. That's how you get through the fucking day. Like, you see this shit day to day. Like, people are like, oh, fucking... And people don't get why, like, cops and paramedics and stuff have a dark sense of humor. It's like, it's the only fucking way to cope with some of this shit. Because it's so unbelievable, the shit you hear and see, that it's like, you've got to almost, like, dehumanize it for yourself.
Well, and it's like, I don't know, man. Like, even for us, though, like, we usually show up after it's happened. You know what I mean? You don't fucking show up and it happens right in front of you. It's usually quite rare. And like,
yeah, that's
everybody
crazy.
Was shook. There was like a TAC team there of like ERT trained fucking paramedics and stuff like that. And like, as soon as this guy splat, one of the guys came sprinting out with a syringe filled with transexemic acid and jabs the guy in the leg with it. And you're like, you know, I kind of just like stuck my head at the ambulance. I was like, it's not going to do anything, man. Guy just fell 28 stories onto cement. Like,
there's some things that are physically, that's the end.
These guys' organs are sheared.
I wish your friend of a friend would have just leaned out the window and said, time of death right now.
Yeah, no shit.
The one liner.
He needs to work on his one liners. It's not a talent.
And then he reverses beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good.
That's crazy.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Anything else before we end this one?
Yeah, we didn't do it last time. We forgot. Read some Patreon supporters.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any up, so it's all you, Zell. Make up some more names.
These are all well thought out, very real names. No one's trying to fuck with us.
It only took you 3 weeks to plan them.
No one's trying to fuck with me. We didn't read them last time, so I'm going back to March 24th. Denise Sayens. Chuck the Truck Wallace. Stephen Woodall. Russell Rees. Zachary Stevenson. Sasuke Ochika. Just Kim. Thank you, Kim. Zachary Sutton. Claudia Ramirez. Ron Pond. Aliza Rice. Getting creative. Manny, Joshua Livermore, Alexander LeClaire, Matthew Mitchell, Mandy Norton, Andrew Kiss, Terry Chelton, Cummins 626, and last but not least, just Austin. Not nice. Austin 316, which you should have done. But thank you very much for supporting the show.
People asking about the Mitral. The Mitral usually happens after the 7th of each month. That's when Patreon usually sends the numbers that I can enter. It was sent late this afternoon, but I didn't have time. So next week, we'll do the Mitral. It's usually after the 7th. So if people are asking, why isn't it on the 1st? It's after the 7th. So the first podcast after the 7th of each month is the Mitral.
Yep.
Other thing... You know, you can always look us up on social media, Instagram, Facebook. We've been interacting like crazy these last couple of days, chirping fans. One of my favorite things is what I've done is there was a couple fans who had some early beaks about squashing me in the running challenge. So I sent a picture of their name with 0 kilometers and then a screenshot of saying how they were going to beat me so bad. And I sent it to them. Just to chirp them. So we've been having some good back and forth with fans. You can always get us on Instagram, Facebook. One of the weird things I always get is like, who am I talking to? Is this the person that runs their social media? No, it's us, motherfucker.
You call
us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If we don't get back to you right away, try again. Chances are we just missed it in the fray. But if you're talking to anyone, it will be one of us four. No one else.
No one else.
No one else.
You'd probably get a faster response if it was someone else, but we will respond eventually.
Yeah, we'll tell you when we get interns.
Yeah.
You'll know because all of a sudden you'll be answered right away. Good thing that happened now and not at the beginning there, Andrew.
What are you talking about?
Anyways.
No, you'll know because we'll have but more. We'll like tweet like twice a day.
Yeah. We've been good these last 5 days, man. Me and Zell have been posting on Instagram like every day and Facebook Live.
Best we've ever done. Best we've ever done by far.
Yeah. So, you find our website, alientheorizing.live, get some merch. We got some new merch coming. It's taking slow. I'll have some more merch this week.
It's the fucking apocalypse right now. We can't get anything done. Nothing's happening. Yeah,
it's tough. It's gone from not having enough time to having too much time, which is almost as bad.
Yeah.
it is just as bad for getting, like, for being productive. We didn't talk about COVID this whole episode, so
that was a
nice break.
That's still happening.
It's still
going
on.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You all know just as much as we know. It's just going.
Check the news.
Whatever.
We've had enough. We'll talk about that in After Hours. You can go to Patreon. We always do After Hours. We've got tons of bonus material on Patreon. If you want to help the show out, go on Patreon. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, everybody. If you want to listen to us watch these fights live, go to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast. Subscribe, support your boys, and enjoy all the bonus content available. Thanks, everybody.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.